Thank you, handsome brother. Very good. Good morning, everyone. So, this is exciting. We're going to start this week of prayer. I wonder how many miracles are going to come from this week. I wonder how many changed lives and people saved in people's families. What do you think? Whenever we pray, God hears us. It doesn't matter what we feel like. It doesn't matter whether we feel the prayer meeting's good or not, or whether we enjoy it or not. Actually, it's pretty irrelevant. The basic truth of Christianity is this: God is real. He's our dad. He loves us. Jesus encourages us to pray. And when we pray, things happen. Things happen often in incredible details that wouldn't happen normally. So we're very excited about that. I want to encourage as many of you as possible to come and pray. These are like serious days in Great Britain, aren't they? Serious days in Europe. There's a huge spiritual battle raging. And actually, we can often forget that the heart of it, the pinnacle of the battle, is actually fought here. What happens in the church is whether a nation is saved or not from destruction. True. The church is the barometer of salvation for any nation. If God revives Christianity in this island over the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years, we will have a very different country and a very different Europe. He's done it over and over again in church history. He's prophetically promised to do it right now. So we should be encouraged. What do you think? Encouraged to pray and seek the Lord with all our heart. It's also a good build-up for Easter, isn't it? Having a fantastic week of prayer is a good devotional thing for us to do as we build up to celebrate Easter and to encounter Jesus in his awesome death and resurrection. It's a fantastic time, Easter, isn't it? So today I want to speak to you about prayer to kick that week off. Next week we have a Compassion Sunday. We have Stephen Bowering speaking here from Compassion. And you're going to have some fantastic testimonies of lads who've been come through the program in Africa and transformed. And it's going to be a new sort of phase for us in terms of working in the third world. So it's going to be really exciting. Sunday I'll be telling you more about that. And you'll be able to next week, at the end of this awesome week of prayer, begin to think about sponsoring children. I know many of you do already. And you can sponsor children in a specific project that we're going to adopt as a church. So we'll be able to go to that nation and visit them and actually meet the children that we're sponsoring. Does that sound exciting? Be able to do ministry with those churches and support them. I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be phenomenal. New phase for us and exciting. And wherever we go, I'm sure the sun will be shining, which is even more exciting, isn't it? Isn't it nice to see the sun today? Anyway, let's read the Bible together. If you've got Matthew in your Bible, then you might like to find it. Matthew chapter 27. Let's look at one of the most phenomenal examples of prayer ever. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Verse 11, Matthew chapter 27. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor. Oh, no, it isn't. Sorry, that's the wrong one. It's Matthew chapter 26. That's him stood before Pilate, isn't it? It's Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. That means the Garden of Olives. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Anyone here ever been sorrowful and troubled? It's good to know Jesus has been as well, isn't it? Let's see how he deals with it. He said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep awake with me." Going a little further, one gospel says it's a stone's throw. So I don't know if I can throw a stone. I'm sure you can throw it the length of this building. maybe a little bit further if you've got a good throwing arm. But he went that far from them, amongst these trees in the olive grove. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples. He came back. And he found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep awake with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation," he said. "The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." And he went away second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done." Then he came back, and again he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to his disciples and he said, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Wake up, look, the hour is here. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let's go. Here comes my betrayer." While I was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him a large crowd armed with swords and clubs. Wow, what a phenomenal time in Jesus' life. The absolute pinnacle of human history, isn't it? The absolute pinnacle, the moment where it's either going to be make or break, salvation or not for this world. It all rests on Jesus' shoulders. And as a man, as a human being, he's very sorrowful, overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of dying. And he wants his disciples to be with him, but he needs to be alone. Have you ever been like that? "Can you be with me? But I just need to be alone with God. But just stay there, stay there." You want to feel like someone's near, but you need to be alone. Jesus is amazing. And we see him this night praying through to a point of absolute peace and absolute victory. It's amazing. He comes back and he's at absolute peace. He's able to go through all the beatings. He's able to face his judgment in the judgment hall and so on. And his blood has already begun to flow in that garden. It says in one gospel that while he was praying, he was under so much stress and pressure that his sweat became drops of blood, and great drops of blood fell to the ground. The capillaries in his forehead were breaking. I've been stressed a few times in my life, but I don't think I've ever been that stressed. I've seen Margaret in labor a few times, but I've never seen her sweating blood. But Jesus was sweating blood. His blood already began to flow. His sufferings had already begun. And he was praying. It's amazing this, isn't it? And we just start by this one thing that is really the heart of it all this morning. It's just this. Jesus never got a yes to his prayer. His answer was no, but he was still helped by praying. Praying always works, always. Because even if the answer is no, you're not getting out of this, because this is your destiny, son. This is your destiny, daughter. No, you're not escaping from that washroom, Margaret, because it's your destiny. So pray and find God there and overcome, and it becomes a blessing and a joy. And many of people have been saved through it. Thank you. That's the truth of every one of you and everything you'll ever struggle with. Anything you feel like is the enemy, is evil, may not be. It may be God's absolute plan for your life. Just because things go wrong doesn't mean you're off track. Just because everyone's against you doesn't mean you're wrong and missing it. Just because things are turning dark does not mean God has left you at all. It may be your glorious moment. And many times in my life I've prayed, "God, get me out of this," and he's got me out of it. And several times I've prayed, "God, get me out of this," and he's pushed me further into it and said, "No, son, this is your destiny. But when I go to God on my knees in our back room or on the field or up the hills and cry out to God in my trouble, guess what? Something changes. Maybe not the circumstances. I do. I change. I'm more peaceful. I'm more strengthened. I touch heaven and heaven touches me and I can go on. I go to prayer thinking, I can't go on. I come back from prayer, sure that I can. That is the awesome truth about prayer. Often God just answers your prayer and you're released because you prayed. But many times you're in the plan of God. This is your destiny. So overcome it through seeking him and getting grace and strength. It's a very different Jesus walked out of this garden than walked in. When Jesus walked in, he was, stay with me, stay with me. When he walked out, they'd all deserted him. He wasn't bothered. He was fine. He knew he was in his Father's will and his Father's plan because he'd come to that awesome point. Here's some truths about this kind of prayer, which is really important for all of us and will help us. Incidentally, how do you think the gospel writers knew what Jesus said that night? Huh? I mean, they weren't there, were they? Oh yeah, Martin, they were in the same garden. No, they were a stone's throw. Only three of them were a stone's throw away from him. The rest were a good way away from him. I've been in the Garden of Gethsemane. Many of you have. It's pretty big. It's a whole hillside. There's distance there. He's a stone's throw away from them. How do they know? He said what he prayed and what God did and how he felt. And it's all written down. I'll tell you. Because after the resurrection, Jesus told them. Because it's very important for us all to know. That's why. He could have just been behind the veil, but it wasn't. After the resurrection, maybe on the beach and sometime during those 40 days, Jesus said, guys, I want you to know what happened to me that night at my lowest point and how I prayed through. It's important you know. I went and I prayed this and I came back. And do you remember I woke you up? Yeah. And I told you, you need to be stronger and your body's weak and you say you're with me, but you can't do it. And then I go back and I prayed the same thing again. I came back again. Actually, I didn't wake you up. Did you come back again? Yeah, I came back again, but I didn't wake you guys up. I just left and went myself to the Father on my own. And I prayed. What did you pray, Lord? I prayed the same thing, exactly the same thing again. What was that again, Lord? My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. Wow. Jesus wanted them to know. Why? Because one night, Peter's going to be sat in a prison cell in Rome, and the next day, he's going to be crucified upside down. And he might not be feeling too good. Or he might have an opportunity to flee. Or he might have an opportunity to take an easier road. But instead, he has Jesus' pattern of surrendering to the will of the Father. Of surrendering to God, even when it's hard. And therefore finding strength and victory. It's amazing. It's amazing. Some things only prayer will do, you know, only encountering God can do. Logic can't see you through. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Jesus knew he was coming back from the dead? Yes, he definitely did. He knew from all the scriptures that he was going to rise from the dead. And he knew himself. And he said to the disciples on three occasions, we're going up to Jerusalem. I just want you to know what's going to happen. I'm going to be handed over to the authorities. They're going to mock me. They're going to spit on me. They're going to flog me. They're going to crucify me. Is this detail? This is Jesus knew from Isaiah and other passages exactly what was going to happen to him. And he was sharing with them and said, all this is going to happen to me. But in 3 days' time, I'm going to be raised from the dead. Isn't that good to know? Good to know. But isn't it funny that knowing that mentally doesn't stop you from the emotional and spiritual battle, does it?
Knowing stuff doesn't always help you.
Having someone sit next to you and say, I understand what it's like. You see, Margaret there, she can get up as a mother and say, I know what it's like to be a young mother and lack of sleep and it's really hard. I know what it's like, which is very nice. But does it help the young mother who still feels exhausted and down and shattered? Well, hardly. But she said something else, which really does help the young mother. She said this. Have your relationship with Jesus. Go to Jesus yourself and meet him. Now that really does help, because that is the emotional and spiritual answer to every hardship and problem in the Christian life. It is. Knowing doesn't help necessarily. Jesus knew on paper, right? 3 days and it's going to be all over. I'm going to be back. It's total victory. 3 days. I know it. But he's still overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Can you relate to this? Jesus is a human being and understands what it feels like. And he knew the only way to overcome the emotional and spiritual side isn't the logical counseling. Well, you know, it won't last forever. Sometimes that doesn't do it for me. I need to be strengthened by God in my inner man. I need to meet God and have that comfort of the Father that Ian was prophesying about. It's his comfort, isn't it? I need his comfort. God's, you know, and Seeker said, thank you, God, that you're not just a father, you're also a mother, which is, you know, biblically true, actually. Most times in the Bible, God calls himself Father, but on several occasions, he relates himself as mother. He says, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. Which is exactly what Ian said about falling over. When you fall over and scrape your knee, you don't run to dad, do you? You don't. You run to dad, you get, ah, oh, poor lad. Go on. Or if you're playing football and you whack themselves, you hear all the dads, all the, shake it off, son. Shake it off. Dad, I broke my leg. Shake it off. Shake what off? You're talking about, mate. He's in agony. But if you scrape your knee and you run to mum, which is exactly what you want, isn't it? Yeah! It's exactly what you want. Now listen to God. As a mother comforts her child, I will comfort you. That's how nice God is. That's how understanding God is. That's how much Jesus was comforted in the Garden of Gethsemane. Comforted, not let off. Not let off. Not let off his destiny. Even though it was agony. You won't be let off your destiny, brothers and sisters. God's too nice for that. And you don't want to be. You can run from your destiny if you want, like Jonah. Well, there's only trouble on that road. But if you submit to God, not my will, but your will be done with tears. If you submit to God, then you will have comfort from him, strength from him to fulfill your destiny. That's what you need. You get it through prayer. What type of prayer? This prayer. First of all, lonely prayer. You need to get on your own with God this week. Not only in the prayer meetings, get on your own with God in your life. Be on your own with God. It's nice to be around Christians. It's nice to pray in the prayer meetings, but something happens when you are alone with God. How do you get alone with God? There are a million different ways. You can go for a walk up the hills. You can take the dog for a walk, but don't take your phone and unplug your ear doo-doos so that you're with God and not just with the internet forever. You get in the car and you don't switch the radio on the way to work. Why? Because you're choosing to be alone with God. Jesus said, when you pray, go into your room and shut your door behind you. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. There are rewards for people who get alone with God. great rewards. It doesn't have to be hours. It can be 5 minutes. 5 minutes of reality is better than 5 hours of pretending. 2 minutes on your knees is better than 2 hours in a prayer meeting if you're only half there. Get on your own with God. It was lonely prayer. Secondly, it was intimate prayer. He said, Abba, my Abba, my Father. He went straight to his Father. There was no, you know, big oratory and saying the Psalms, stuff building up. It was just straight to his dad. When you're desperate, go straight to your dad, who is mum as well, and get this comfort. Because he loves you and wants to comfort you and meet you. He said, my Father. Now you can get things off a father that you can't get off a king, that you can't get off a ruler, that you can't get off, because he's your dad. He's your parent. D.L. Moody tells a beautiful story about in the Civil War in America. True story about Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln was the most Christian president, the most loved and the most Christian president by far there's ever been in the United States. And Abraham Lincoln was in the middle of this terrible Civil War conflict. And young men were court-martialed for various crimes, and they were, you know, meant to be shot. And he couldn't do it. He was just too soft-hearted. He kept letting them off. He kept letting them off and letting them off. In the end, the army and the whole nation rose up against him, the press and everyone. They said, you have to stop this. You're making a mockery of the military. People are going to be able to desert in the middle of battle. You have to uphold this law. If someone deserts, they must be shot. And he submitted to the nation, as he should. He's meant to be serving them. And he said, okay, no more reprieves, is it? Or something, where you let people off? I knew it. And then, here's the story. True story, historical fact. There was a young man who was doing his watch during the night near the front line, and he fell asleep. 19 years old. He fell asleep because his best friend, who was sick, couldn't do his shift. So he was doing two night shifts in a row. During the second night shift, utter exhaustion, he fell asleep. He was caught asleep at his post. I mean, that could mean death for a lot of men. It's very serious. He was court-martialed. He was going to be shot. They sent a letter, the army sent a letter to his parents, and his little sister was absolutely devastated. And she went to the gates of the White House to try and speak to Abraham Lincoln. I mean, what chance is she going to have? Try and beg for the life of her 19-year-old older brother. What chance did she have? But actually, playing in the grounds was Abraham Lincoln's son. And through the fence, amidst all the crowds, they started to play together a little bit. She was only young. And talk a little bit. And he said, why are you here? And she said, I need to see Abraham Lincoln. He said, no problem. He's my dad. Come on. He walked to the soldier. He said, yeah. Which is American. And they opened the gate. And they let this girl in. This is a true story. And he said, come on. And he took him. He walked straight in. The soldiers and guards at the door never batted an eyelid. It's Abraham Lincoln's son. He's his son. He walked straight in. There was people working all over in different offices. The door was open. As he went through one office, he saw his dad sat on a chair. He said, Dad, Abraham Lincoln said, son, what's wrong? Oh, who's your little friend? Oh, she's thingy-thingy. She wants to speak to you, Dad. Yes, dear. This little girl tells this story about her brother and how he's the only son. Now, if he's shot, her parents will never recover. And Abraham Lincoln, big tears rolling down his face into his beard. Do you know what he did? You can guess, can't you? He went right against the whole nation and all of his government and all of the military, and he let him off. And he actually gave him 2 weeks' holiday as well to go home and see his parents. Anyone think Abraham Lincoln's quite nice? Let me tell you something. God's nicer. God's nicer. Your Father in heaven is very soft-hearted. And if there's any way of getting you out of pain, he will do it. Jesus, Father, if it's all things are possible with you, if there's any way I don't have to drink this cup of sin and hell and death and judgment, if there's any other way... Silence. Because you and I know there is no other way for men to be saved other than Jesus Christ's bloodshed. There is no other way. So the father answered him the truth. No, son. You're going through it. Lonely prayer, intimate prayer, persistent prayer. Jesus wasn't bothered about praying the same thing three times. That gives me encouragement to pray things 300 times. To pray for our stinking next big building. Ding! 3,000 times. And to keep going back. God, give us a building in Teesside Park. God, give us a building in Teesside Park. Are you bored? Because I'm bored. Should we be bored together? We have to be persistent and keep praying for the things that we want until we get them or get grace to overcome them. End of story. But one of the two will happen if you don't give up. Jesus did not have grace for the cross after one prayer session. Bear that in mind. Neither two. But after three, a whole night of prayer, yes, he did have grace to go through it. Prayer is powerful. And if you're persistent, it will work. Bill Hybels leads a really influential, famous church in America. You know it, Willow Creek. He said in the early days of the church, many people would come to him for marriage counseling. They were arguing, they were fighting. They couldn't get it together in their marriages. Some of his key leaders. And he started trying to help them and counsel them. In the end, he realized from talking to them, actually, they hadn't really prayed about it. So he started to take another line with them and said, listen, when people came into his office with marriage problems, instead of referring them to a counselor, he'd say, listen, let me ask you a question. Answer me honestly. Have you prayed about this? And they'd say, yeah. And he'd say, no. Have you prayed every day for 3 weeks, for instance, about this particular issue? Boo. No. Well done for being honest. Do me a favor. Before I sort you out on a human level, why don't you take this to God first? And seriously, persistently ask him to help you with this issue. Listen, if you know where in 3 weeks, come back. Do you know something? No one ever came back. None of them ever came back. Because when you actually get to God together and pray, guess what? He answers.
When you're like that widow knocking on the door, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, then you get through. You do. Ask and you shall receive. We all like that one. Seek and you shall find. A little bit more difficult, but we quite like that one. Knock and the door will be answered. We're not so good at that one. We're like kids who play knock and run. Do you remember that when you were a kid? You'd knock on people's doors and run off. We once put 100 milk bottles outside someone's house and knocked and ran off. It's hilarious hearing them come out. We were naughty. But Christians are like that with God often. I'm going to pray about this. Lord, I really want to... There's no one in. Yeah, I'll have a cup of coffee, please. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, oh, do you know, I've got a major problem. I need to talk to someone. Have you prayed about it? Yeah, I prayed about it. Actually, you need to stand there for a day or two. Or a week or two, or a month or two. Sometimes praying for your family to be saved. Jenny Day's in. Sometimes praying for your family to be saved. 20 years, wasn't it, Jenny? Or something like that. 20 years. You keep 20 years, 20 years, 20 years. When her family are gloriously saved, the 20 years doesn't matter, does it? It's nothing. It was all just suddenly worth it, and it all just suddenly worked, and it was answered. God answers prayer. He does. He answers, and, you know, what time is it? Just in case it's you're all having your Mother's Day lunches in about 15 minutes ago. 10 to. So I've got 10 minutes. Yes. Change the world in 10 minutes. Okay, 10 minutes. So it's the same with illness and sickness. You know, I was really challenged by that story Yongi Chow told about a couple who came to him in his church, and he was a businessman. And they were successful, very successful businessman, really happy, good Christians, members of his church, came to him, and the whole family came in to see him, and they were all absolutely in bits, sobbing and weeping. The dad had been given 3 weeks to live. He was absolutely riddled with cancer everywhere in his body. 3 weeks. And Yongi Chow said, well, I'll pray for you now to be healed, but really, get yourself up to Prayer Mountain, which is their prayer center, and cry out to God for a miracle. 3 weeks, you need a miracle. You don't need a bit of recovery, you need a miracle. Go get a miracle if there's a miracle to be got. He prayed for them there, and he sent them to Prayer Mountain. You know what? Blessed them, they did. The whole family did. The kids and the mum, they went that weekend to Prayer Mountain, booked in, and they went and they prayed and they fasted. The kids fasted as well. All day Friday, they were weeping and crying out to God, please heal my dad. Please save my dad. Please. All day Friday. That was a hard day. Eventually fell asleep Friday night. Woke up Saturday. Please heal my dad. Please heal my dad. Please heal my dad. I bet that was a longer day. Eventually fell asleep Saturday night. Sunday, the dad woke up. He started to be drastically ill. They thought he was dying there, and then he was vomiting all sorts of stuff all over the place. Terrible black stuff. They thought, oh, well, we've got to get him off this mountain. We've got to get him to hospital. They took him to hospital, took him straight to hospital. Not a trace of cancer in his body. He'd vomited it all out on the Sunday. During those prayers, God moved every cancerous growth into his stomach and he vomited them all out in a couple of hours. That was 20 odd years ago. This couple of deacons in his church now. And during that process at Prayer Mountain, Yongi Chow said, oh, he got very serious with God, this man. He suddenly became a real Christian. He really repented of all of his sin from the bottom of his heart. And then they cried out to God, and he was mightily healed. God answers prayer. Persistent prayer. Sincere prayer. Lonely prayer. Intimate prayer. And lastly, humble and submissive prayer. Give me a wave if you're really humble. Jenny! That could be true, actually. Yeah, that's right. You get beyond the point where you don't care. That is actually really humility. Well done. And submissive prayer. Submissive.
You know what? Submission is a very good thing. Wives, submit to your husbands. That's not what King Martin says. That's not what my old pastor said. That's what the Bible says over and over again. If you want a happy, joyful, God-filled home, submit to your husbands. Submission isn't easy sometimes. It doesn't mean you always think they're right. It means you trust God to put him right if he's wrong. It's much more powerful and effective, I assure you. Much more powerful than giving it that and dragging him down and undermining it, much more. Because it's the God way. It's the kingdom of God way. It also says, submit yourselves to one another. Be humble with each other. Listen to each other. Give way to each other. If you both think you're right, guess what? Someone's wrong and it might be you. So let it go. And submit. Submit. Humble yourself before God. The Hebrews says Jesus was heard through his tears and intercessions because of his godly submission. Was Jesus submitting here? What do you think? Totally submitting. Did he want it? Did he want the suffering? No. Was he hoping for another way? Yes. But was he willing and wise enough at the end of the day to know, to add that fantastic history-saving but? This is what I want. This is what I'd really want. But not my will. Not my will. But yours be done. And you're all here because of it. And I'm here because of it. Brothers and sisters, you're not Jesus, and neither am I. Stuff your will and my will all together in one big stuffing. Who cares what I want, ultimately? The only value that Martin Ruddick has in Martin Ruddick's life is this. The only thing that matters is what God wants to do with me. I thought he created me. I thought he saved me. Didn't you like that beautiful song that Seeker wrote? That song Seeker wrote, that's absolutely awesome, isn't it? I want you to have all of me. I want to surrender all. I want everything to be about you, Jesus. Well, you either sing it and mean it or you don't. It's lovely singing it. It's not so lovely when you can't get on as a couple. And you have to go, I might be wrong. And even if I'm not, God will make it right. Jesus prayed submissive prayer. If you can get to the point of praying a submissive prayer, you will have a blessed life. Lord, I'd really want this and I knock for it and ask for it, but you know best. You will answer in your time, in your way, not mine. You know what's best for me, God, so I'll trust you. Though you slay me, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And you know what? Just step back from the Garden of Gethsemane a minute. It's not long, 3 days, is it? Was it long? Thank you, Jesus, it wasn't long. Terrible suffering on the cross, but it was only 6 hours. And then Jesus was dead. And preaching to the dead. You can read that in 2 Peter. And then glorious resurrection and victory forever. Is it worth it going through your bit of suffering? Yeah, it really is. Is it worth it forgiving and overcoming your past hurts? Yes, very worth it. It's all worth it. It works. The Christian's secret weapon is death. Your cross is on your back, brothers and sisters. Use it. Get on it and die. Get on it and die. Some of us are trying to get through the waves, and the waves of life are battering us and battering us. And the best thing we should do is just, I think I'll just die. Blub, 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 blub. You go half a foot under the waves, totally peaceful. There's no froth anymore, no noise. No, it's just,
because you've given up the fleshy fight for what you want. And you are seeing God's way through these waves then. You really are. Let's stand. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you are so beautiful and awesome. We see you in that garden, Lord, sweating blood, terribly sorrowful, and yet determined to save us, determined to find a way through. And thank you, Jesus, for giving us this wonderful example and letting us know what happened that night, because it will strengthen us through many a night. Help us follow you, Jesus. Take up our cross and follow you every day as real Christians. Help us die to ourselves and submit to your authority and power, and let you have your way in our life. We say together, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Your will be done in our marriages. Your will be done in our parenting. Your will be done with our finances. Your will be done in this church. Your will be done in my body, in my life and relationships. Your will be done. And then, Lord, resurrection, victory. Hallelujah. Amen. Give someone a hug and tell them you love them. We're done. God bless you.